السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon the best of his creation, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family and his companions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to his remembrance, to his words, to his kalam, so that we internalize it, that we understand it properly, and most importantly, we act upon it and actualize it in our lives so that we become living examples of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful knowledge, knowledge that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which helps us to fulfill the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, which is His ubudiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept, salamu alaykum, accept this gathering and make it with sidq, with truthfulness and with ikhlas only for His pleasure and not for any other purpose. The topic that we are going to talk about today is justice. Justice in Islam. How do we understand justice in Islam? The obligation for justice in Islam, and the various words that are used in the Quran for justice, and some of their subtle differences. And then we'll go through the ayats of the Quran, about 70 of which mention justice in one form or another in every aspect of our life. So we understand the whole spectrum of justice in Islam. So we had assigned a few of the major ayats that deal with justice in Islam, and we will first go over those ayats and then some translation, brief understanding of those ayats, and then open up the topic for in general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, this is an ayah that we hear, especially as brothers, every Jummah. Every Jummah, we hear this ayah towards the end of the khutbah. Therefore, it means it has to be something special that we are made to hear this, we are reminded of this every single Friday. So 52 times 70 is 3,500 plus times we've heard this ayah. The ayah is A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi يَعِدُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. This is a commandment. What does He command you? Adl. Adl, loosely translated as justice. So when Allah commands something, what does it mean? From a fiqh perspective, what does it become? Is it something good to do?
Must do.
Yes, it's something that is wajib, it's a fard. It's a commandment of Allah that you must do this. Allah commands justice, bil adl wal ihsan, and Allah also commands ihsan. And as you know, ihsan has also a spectrum of meaning, from to do things with excellence, to do things in the best possible way, to do things as if you see Allah in front of you or Allah is seeing you, to do it with that frame of mind. And ihsan is in what? Allah doesn't specify. He just says he commands ihsan. Everything to be done with that in its best possible way, as if Allah was watching you, which He is, or you are seeing Allah. When it's left open, what does it mean? Ihsan in what? In your relationship with Allah, in every act of ibadah, in your salah, in your sawm, in your hajj, in your dhikr, in your zakat, in everything, in your vertical relationship with Allah. But it also means ihsan in your horizontal relationship with everything, starting with yourself, fulfilling the rights of your body, of your life, in the best way, fulfilling the rights of your parents, fulfilling, dealing with your spouse in the best possible way, dealing with your children in the best possible way, dealing with your relatives in the best possible way, dealing with your neighbors in the best possible way, dealing with your business partners and business dealings, every single thing, whether it's matters of inheritance, whether it's matters of business, whether it's what you offer as merchandise, what you offer as service, such as people in the service industry, lawyers, doctors, judges. Everything has to be done with ihsan. It's open. In other words, Allah is commanding excellence, that you do the best that you can. Okay. Wa ita'i dhil qurba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and spend and support people who are qareeb, which means your relatives. All your relatives, starting with the nearest ones, which is your immediate family, then your extended family, and then your not your further extended family, your relatives. Allah is saying, spend on them, support them, help them in whatever they need. Sometimes it's economic support, sometimes it's emotional support, sometimes it's condolence, sometimes whatever it is. You know, if somebody's not getting married, helping with that. So whatever they need, Allah says, do that. وَيَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِيِ. And Allah forbids you. He forbids you from fahsha. Fahsha is everything that the fitrah, the natural instinct, considers indecent. Here, starting with how people dress, how people act with lack of haya, and everything that goes beyond that of illicit relationships. It all comes under fahsha. Also under this, some scholars have said disobedience of parents is considered. Everything major, shirk, lies, giving false witness, taking a life, killing people. This under, and munkar. Munkar means everything that Allah has forbidden. Allah says, don't do, that comes under Allah. So, and, well, baghi. Baghi means a person who rebels and goes on to oppress people. Oppression. And part of oppression always, oppression goes hand in hand with aggression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden these. And then He says, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is a, Allah is the wise, He's giving an admonishing, an exhortation, what He has said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that you may reflect on this. And this ayah itself is enough because it's open for every kind of human relationship, whether it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the relationship of an abd, a servant, with the master, or any relationship we have. Okay. And it starts with adl. And we'll get into that a little later. Does anybody have any comments or questions on this so far, of what you may have read ahead of time and learned something? Anyone wants to add anything, contribute anything, or question? Okay. We go to the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'i bilqist wala yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'adilu i'adilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa wattaqullah inna allaha khabirun bima ta'amaloon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Who is he addressing? No. He's addressing me. He's addressing you. When you say it's for believers, we put ourselves, Quran is for you. Always when it says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, your ears should pop up, Allah is addressing me. This is not for him and him and her. It's for me. That's the most important thing. Yes, literally it means, O you who believe. But I claim to have belief, therefore, this what is coming should first be for me, because I am the one who has to fulfill these duties. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'i bilqist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, stand up firmly upright as witnesses for Allah in justice, as just witnesses. Now, how do we stand up as just witnesses for Allah? What does that mean? Whenever there is an issue of any kind, if you know what is right, what is wrong, you always stand up for justice. Anything, whether it's a small matter, two of your children fighting with each other, stand up for justice. Okay? If it's something countries fighting, genocide going on, stand up for justice, and everything in between. Okay? And then the interesting thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Lillahi, you're doing this for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Because Allah wants justice. Now he has given you the responsibility as his khalifa on this earth. Allah said, establish justice. Last ayah said, establish justice. Now, when you see injustice being done, when are you going to stand up? When there is a potential for injustice, that you stand up for the truth, you stand up for justice, you stand up for what is right. Now, the word used here, shuhada, you be witness, bil qist. The second word, first ayah was, the word was what for justice? Adl. Adl. In Urdu, we use adl. Here, it's qist, which is also a word, and there are subtle differences. We'll come to that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have ended the ayah right there, that the full message. But he specifies further. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let not, if you, in one of these, in this conflict that you are arbitrary, one of them is your enemy. Now, if one of the two parties is an enemy to you, what is your normal tendency? You will favor the one who is your friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمْ. Don't let your enmity for any one of those prevent you from justice. In other words, if your friend is wrong and your enemy is right, you will decide on the favor of your enemy. Allah says, don't let enmity, because then that's not justice. You have to stand up for the truth. So Allah specifies that. Don't let your enmity for one party, hatred to others, make you act so that you don't act with justice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop there. He says, "Adilu." That's now the word adl again comes. "Adilu" is a command. Act with justice. So three stresses. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stand up as his witness. Then he says, don't let things like this. And this is the extreme case. You know, you are towards. Yet he says, stand up for wherever justice, and then commands it again, adilu, huwa aqrabu littaqwa, because that is closer, qareeb, aqrab, closest to taqwa. Wattaqullah, and fear Allah. In other words, when you are making these decisions, when you are favoring one party over the other, always have fear of Allah, because Allah is the ultimate judge. And Allah will judge you for what you did. And then, just so that you have any doubt, he stresses it again, end of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah is well informed with what you do. Means what decision you're going to make, who you favor, whether you act with justice or not. Just remember, that's the ultimate. Just remember one thing, and everything falls in its place. What should you remember? Allah knows what you are doing. And that's taqwa, anyway. So, the ayah leaves no room for messing around with justice. Okay? And he gives the example, even if it is, you hate one party for whatever they have done to you, but you still have to act with justice. Any questions about this ayah? This is in Surah Maida, beginning of Surah Maida. Now we come to an ayah from Surah An-Nisa, which is similar to this, with some things put in a different order, and you'll see the similarities, and some added information. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءِ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. The ayah starts with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, meaning who? Me. All believers, but me first. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءِ لِلَّهِ. Same thing. Stand up for justice for the sake of Allah. First ayah said, كُونُوا, what did it say? لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءِ لِلَّهِ. First ayah said, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءِ بِالْقِسْطِ. This says, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءِ لِلَّهِ. Just the order is changed. Okay. Same thing. Stand up for justice for the sake of Allah. Now comes the additional. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Even if it be, first one we talked about, the hatred for others should not deviate you from justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if it be عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if it be against your own self. So you're going to court against somebody, and you are presenting your case, but you know you are not right. Allah says, don't do that. Even if it goes against you, because that's what justice is, that's what it should be. And this we see all the time. Muslims fighting with each other, business people fighting with each other, brothers and sisters fighting with each other for inheritance, and whoever gets there first grabs whatever they can, kind of thing, you know. All the time. This is not uncommon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if it is against yourself, awil walidain, one of the parties in this conflict is your parents. Allah says, if they are doing injustice, you stand up for the other party. You say, oh, but it's my parents. Doesn't matter. Yes, parents have right, but not at the expense of justice. Wal akrabin, and your close relatives. You know, one side is, you know. Allah says, doesn't matter. In yakun ghaniyan aw faqiran. And again, it doesn't matter what their economic status is. You know, normally what happens in the so-called real world of today, the rich get away with murder. You know, shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and you can say nothing's going to happen to me, right? Somebody said that. And the poor get stuck with everything. Allah says, no, that's not justice. You have to stand up for justice. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا Allah is closer to them. He knows who is right, who is wrong. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى And don't follow your own inclination, your own desires. Because we are frequently, we are biased towards something. This person speaks my language. You know? I have been in their house for so many times and they make good biryani, so I would favor them. Allah says, no, don't follow your hawa, which is your inclinations and your desires. An ta'dilu, so that it makes you deviate from justice. Wa in talbu aw tu'ridu, and don't refuse and don't turn back and don't distort. Talbu is to distort what? Your testimony. Because in a case like this, you're called as a witness and you are trying to favor one party unjustly. So you distort some of the facts. You don't give everything. Allah says, don't do that. And don't, وَلَا تَعْرِضُ and literally means turn your back, in other words, refuse. That you know the truth, but you refuse to divulge the truth. Like the lawyers tell you here, don't answer the question. Take the fifth. Yes, fifth may save you, but Allah says justice. So it will save you in this court, but you will be accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are important things that we need to understand. I mean, Islam, Allah holds Muslims at very high standards, ethical standards. I mean, just imagine if you have to be a witness against yourself and against your parents, especially, and there is an enemy of yours on the other side who openly says things like that. Again, ending the same way. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا Indeed, Allah is well acquainted, knows everything what you do. Again, it's the same thing. This ayah ends. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا The previous ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Same thing, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't repeat the same thing. He just turns the words. Because where this comes, this rhymes better with what's there and that goes. And there's also a certain, I don't want to use a musical, but there is a, rhyming that Allah in parts of the Quran. So this is again the same concept with some additional information. The first one said on one side is your enemy, you can't. And the second one says you have all the people you want to favor, yourself, your family, your parents. Don't look at the economic status. You have to stand up for justice. Any comments or questions on this?
Just a quick question, Dr. Ali. That question is like when one is trying to establish justice and we are living in the era of misinformation, how do we trust the witness? Because it becomes quite dicey, because when you're doing justice, you go with the witnesses, right? So what is the figure ruling? How do you gauge the witnesses or the information that you have at hand in order to determine whether you're on the right side or the wrong side?
So there are two aspects to your question. One is the way you have framed the question, it is that you are the judge. So you're listening to the witnesses and you're determining who is telling the truth, who is not. The second aspect of it is, you are the witness. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts these ayahs by saying, you are the shuhada for Allah. And you cannot lie. So even if the other party is lying, you still have to tell the truth because Allah is watching you. Allah knows the other party is lying, but you can't say, well, they are lying, so I'm going to lie also. You have to still tell the truth. That's not a choice. Now, we are living in an era where truth and falsehood are so mixed up, the information that comes, that you cannot be sure. And this was something Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And it hasn't yet reached a peak. When is it going to reach a peak? With the coming of Dajjal, because that's the ultimate of mixing up truth and falsehood. When somebody comes who has been given the powers of Allah, by Allah, and who himself says, I'm God. So that's the ultimate test. May Allah take us before that time comes. Okay, because it's going to be a big test. Now, today we have what are called bots on the computer. What are bots? Do you know what bots comes from? Robots. It's the short of bots. So they have, with AI, developed programs, a lot of which comes from the Middle East. You know, who would that be? Where through these programs, they monitor certain words, certain phrases. For example, Gaza. For example, Palestine. Anything that's posted anywhere, that program picks it up and immediately has a response. The ChatGPT is programmed to do a response to that which favors the other party. And to bombard so many of those every few minutes in different variation, it looks like thousands of people are responding to it. Now you look at the reaction, there's something happened, and you look at the reaction, majority of them, as of 2023, 70% of them were not normal human beings responding. It's already programmed. This year they think 95% of responses are going to be through AI. Which means you can promote any agenda you want, you can negate anything else, you can create false popularity of so many hits and so many views and so many, all of that. It's all lies. Okay. And that's going to happen. So if you are in the position of a judge or you are making a judgment, you do the best you can. And alhamdulillah, Allah has not put us in a position where we are going to be passing capital punishments on people. Okay. You can come to you can look at the best evidence, and sometimes you can say, it's not clear. Okay. And Allah doesn't hold you accountable for that when information is not available. But once you know, and especially if you are the witness to something, then there is no room, there is no wiggle room for, you know, compromising the truth and compromising justice. So that's the best I can answer that question. Yes.
So how can you stand up for justice when you feel that your family might be threatened, your future might be threatened, your career might be threatened? What's going around in the world right now, and people are very silent because they are afraid of, chatbots you just talked about. They are monitoring everything. It's very difficult to even post anything on WhatsApp or look up anything on Google. It's because you are afraid that you are going to be monitored. And then since you are coming from the country where you cannot really go back, so you just try to ignore those things and it's injustice to those people, but it's just the way of life right now.
So again, everyone has a certain comfort level of what they feel for security. Okay. There are people on campuses who are not Muslim, who know that they'll be blacklisted forever, who will never get a job, yet they choose to stand up for justice. When somebody does that, they will lose out on certain things. But whoever loses out, gives up something out of justice for Allah SWT, this is lillah, Allah will replace it with something better. They may be tried. They may go through hardship. But they will come out ahead. Dunya and especially akhirah. So that's something that we must understand. Now, everyone has to make their own decision based on their circumstances. The least level of which is when you see something wrong, what is the least level of iman? Hate it in your heart. But if I say, no, I don't even want to go there, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that means you cannot claim to be Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. So the least level is to recognize it as wrong, as injustice, and to hate it for that reason. And then you come to that next level, speak up against it, and many people speak up, and there, whatever your level of comfort is. And again, when you do speak up, you have to use your wisdom. Use phrases that cannot be misconstrued, that cannot be taken out of line. Don't use things that now they've sort of, the new system is that everything is anti-Semitism, for example. Okay. Today I was reflecting. I said, time has come where speaking the truth is equal to anti-Semitism. Which then means that they've diluted that definition so much, that means the majority of the world has become anti-Semite this way. Because the majority wants to speak the truth. So they've defined it in a way which is going to backfire. But you use your wisdom. Don't be yelling, screaming, using phrases that are clearly wrong. You know, you speak about what the truth is. That's it. So inshallah, may Allah guide us to say that. And then ultimate is to do something about it, which people are trying to do, whatever they can, you know, trying to reach people and money. And, you know, ultimately is, you know, the peak of Islam is jihad fi sabilillah, ultimately. When? You have the, not just random, you know. Again, the rule in our deen is that if the harm of it outweighs the benefit or equal to the benefit, you don't do it. You leave it. Okay. So, don't act impulsively. Because if you act impulsively, you will commit injustice. For example, in a situation like this where one party is committing all kinds of evil. Say, I'm going to do the same in retaliation. Then there is no difference left. You have to still act with justice. We have, in jihad, we have rules. So what, they destroyed, they leveled everything. Allah says, no. You cannot cut down trees. You cannot do this. You cannot fight against true non-combatants. Children, this. But they've killed so many thousand children, so we'll do the same. No, you can't. Why? Because you are ladina amanu. You are different. That's it. So we have to think carefully. We have to strategize. We have to act. And we have to act with sabr. Sometimes you have to be patient till the right avenues open up, Allah opens up, because these are tests. In the last session, we went over that.
We can feel ourselves, current affairs, and probably in the future, but whatever happened in the past, it is also very gray. And making a decision where sahabas are involved in those conflicts, it's very hard for us to decide. How can we say at one side there is one person who can, our mother, other one is our sahaba. So how can we decide?
So this is, now you are bringing up another issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. For them is what they did, and for you is what you did. And you will not be asked about them. In other words, the fitna in the early generations at the time of the Sahaba that started after the murder of Sayyidina Uthman led to further conflicts where there were Sahaba on one side, Sahaba, major Sahaba on one side, major Sahaba on the other side, because of the way they saw things differently. They will answer for that. We don't judge them. We don't choose sides. We said it happened. Allah's wisdom. I will be asked about what I will not be asked which side would you favor. Would you be on the side of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu? Will you be on the side of Sayyida Aisha and Talha and Zubair? I am with all of them. Okay. So, yes, there can be conflicts. And after that conflict, after second fitna and third fitna, throughout we've had this history. Today we have the same thing, you know. As an individual, we have control on how we act. Not, and the rulers will be asked and they'll be, have a greater accountability because Allah gave them, you know, leadership. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us not to seek leadership. Very different than what we try and do today. Everybody wants to be a leader. We have training in what call? What is it called? Leadership training. You want to take that? There's a lot of responsibilities, a lot of accountability. Now, can you imagine? Alhamdulillah, suppose if I was a leader, a president or something, in one of the Muslim countries today. And the world is like this. What would I do? Alhamdulillah, I don't have to make that decision. My biggest decision is, you know, how much to work, how much to earn, where to spend. That's about it, you know. And who to support. So, these are important issues, but when something is clear, you take the side of what appears to you and you ask Allah, Ya Allah. And sometimes it's best to be silent. If you're not sure about an issue, you're silent. I'm neutral. I don't know. I don't have enough information. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to take one side or the other. And in those early fitan periods, where it is not, now you have Sayyidina Hussein and you have Yazid. It's black and white. But not every conflict is that black and white. Okay. So where does adl originate? No. Original adl, of course, comes from who established adl? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in these ayats of Surah Rahman, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَدَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Allah has raised high the heavens, the skies, and He has set up, He has established the balance, mizan. This mizan means the mizan of justice. أَلَّا تَتْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. And don't play around, transgress with this mizan. That is the ultimate of all balance. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Same word. وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ. And establish and weigh with equity. Allah has given an example. If you are a merchant, you are giving weight. You know, in our countries, when I remember when we were small, I was taught by my mother how to make sure that the scale, when they came to weigh grain and all, that the scale was straight, because they had ways of, in our language, they said dandi marna. Okay, they would have something. Sometimes it was in the scale, sometimes it was with the hand. You know, you just put a little pressure here. It would, so you would, again, Allah is watching. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you weigh, if you are giving, give a little more if you have to, but don't give less. Don't take that chance. Okay. As they say, bhari tolo, give little more than what's due. Okay. And Allah says, wala tukhsirul mizan, don't fall short in that measure. And this mizan means all us, not just in weighing, but for us as a physician. How do I fall short? That I don't give my full attention and I don't give my full skill set and the benefits of that to my patients. For whatever reason. Okay. If I'm advising somebody, I don't give the best advice that I'm capable of giving. I have fallen short on the scale. Because Allah gave me that wisdom and somebody came to me for advice. Okay. And I didn't do my best. Now my best may not be good enough, but I should do my best. So these are standards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set when He established the system. And everything in the system is manifestation of adl. Part of that justice is balance. So if you look at the heavenly bodies, look at the orbits in which they move, look at the gravitational pull of each against the other. Everything is in perfect harmony, which is because it's in perfect balance, and it's in perfect balance because of the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the day He created the universe. And He is al-adl, even before the universe, He is the just. So He created the whole universe in balance. And when that balance goes off, then everything goes off. In that balance is climate change. In that balance is the ecosystem. In that is the food chain. All of that Allah created. If you look into everything, there is a balance. The fact that the birds, we were talking earlier today with one of our sisters, Allah talks about the birds. The fact that the birds are suspended in the air, there is a balance. A perfect balance of surface of the wing and the weight of the bird that it can manage to be there. Sometimes flapping 2,000 times a second, like a hummingbird. Sometimes albatross 50 miles without flapping the wing. Balance. Everything is in, not what you look at. Everything is in balance because everything is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our Quranic teachings, adl is a fundamental and essential principle on which the truth of existence is based. If there was no adl, existence would fail to exist. You know, the universe is only, the workings and the perfection of the universe is only fulfilled because of that balance that Allah created. And the balance in our lives would be fulfilled if we acted according to the commandments of Allah. The moment you leave one thing, the balance starts to change. You say, you know, I'm a good person. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't harm anybody. But I don't do this, which I'm supposed to do. Well, the balance is already tilted. Because every single thing has an impact. Sometimes, how do we pick and choose? We choose to follow certain commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we don't give some certain commandments the same importance. He said, you know, when Allah gives tawfiq, then I will do it. I feel I'm a little weak. You know, we are living in the West. So I distort some of it. Now, you may not know of it. You may not even be aware of it because you're not so sensitive that it will have an impact on your life. And it will have an impact on the life of your children and the generations that come. How did Muslims and Islam get to the level where it is now? Because of leaving the small things. Over generations, the balance tipped in a way that it's like this now. Upside down, actually. Every little thing makes a difference. So, this adl is the essence, the source of existence, and it's one of the loftiest of goals that we are trying to establish. Justice. And the first establishing of justice is that my relationship with my Rabb should be correct. I'm not a wali of Allah. I'm not equal to Allah. Na'udhu billah. I am an abd. He is the ma'bud. I am the slave. He is the master. And that's how it should be. So I recognize that and my life reflects that. Whenever a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, as they say, sarakope, or I obey to the best of my ability. Now, can there be times of weakness? Yes, they can, because we are human beings. But we never raise our head to say, no, I will not do this. Or this is not necessary, changing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's very, very important. And therefore, this adl starts first with me, my relationship with Allah, my responsibility to my own body. For example, if I smoke, now you say, it's a bad habit. I'll move it further. I'll say, that's a lack of justice because you are doing injustice to your lungs. Right? Everything that you don't fulfill the rights of yourself, of your own body. And if I know that 24 hours a day in front of a screen harms my vision, and I continue to do that, I'm doing injustice. I'm using the ni'mah that Allah has given me in a way that is not appropriate without taking proper precautions. So every single thing, diet, if I indulge in, eat and eat and eat, and I finish all the Shahid Tughra today, that is injustice to myself. And of course to others because they don't get any. All right. And then, part of that is also that we put reason and religious teachings as a governor over our own passions and anger and emotions. You know, this is what I want to do. What does Allah say? What does rationality and what does reasoning say? So I do that. And again, then the adl then goes to family. How do I treat my family, starting with my parents? Did I fulfill the rights of my parents as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me? As long as they were alive, if they became old, if they became disabled, if they became demented, whatever it is, they became unreasonable, they became violent with me, they didn't even recognize me, I still do what an observant servant should do. One day Musa alayhi salam, in his conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Allah, who is going to be my neighbor in Jannah? He said, such and such butcher, qasai. Butchers are not any, you know, they are not the elite of society. He says, he's going to be my neighbor in Jannah. Yes. So Musa alayhi salam goes, finds this butcher, and he goes to his shop, and he says, Musa alayhi salam comes, and this man doesn't know this is Musa alayhi salam. So he comes there, he sits, watches what he does, how he is doing. He's doing his good job, you know, selling, buying, all of that. Nothing out of the ordinary, just normal. Then he didn't see anything, so he said, you know, I'm a stranger in this village. So he said, oh, no, you're a stranger. You'll be my guest at home. So he takes him home. So when he goes home, the first thing, it's sort of dark, not enough light and all. And he sees Musa alayhi salam, there's in one corner, there is a little bed. And he sees a little creature crumpled up on there. And this man first goes and he, you know, attends to this. And then he goes and he makes food. And the first thing he does, even before he comes to Musa alayhi salam, he takes the food, he picks up this being in his hand like this, cannot sit up, and then he's feeding this. So when he finishes, he comes back to attend to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam says, who's that? He said, oh, that's my mother. And she's mumbling something. He said, she cannot feed herself. I have to take care of everything. So when I come, I make food and I have to feed her and I have to change her and everything. She's, as we say in medicine, total care. So Musa alayhi salam said, what was she mumbling to you? He said, oh, you don't want to know. You know she's demented. What was she saying? He said, may Allah make you the neighbor of Musa in Jannah. Where is Musa alayhi salam and where am I? She's crazy. So Musa alayhi salam said, I am Musa. And now I understand that her dua has been accepted. Because we are talking, where did we start with? The rights of the parents. And this is for all of you who still have parents living. And for those of us who do not, making dua for them and giving charity for them and everything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to do. And the same thing with our relatives. And if we do that, then the circle expands to the society. Imagine if everybody was so just, what kind of society you would be living in? What a beautiful society it would be. That your neighbor and you would be like brothers and sisters. You wouldn't be dumping your leaves on theirs. You'd be taking their leaves and taking it with yours and throwing it away. You wouldn't be pushing snow on their side. So clean yours, I'll go and clean yours also. Okay. So, adl, justice is rooted in the fitrah of mankind, the natural predisposition that Allah has put in each one of us, that we like justice and we want justice and we have a dislike for injustice. That's a natural. Now, if a person corrupts themselves to the degree where anything goes, then that changes. But we are all born with that encoded in our genes, literally encoded in our genes, to know right from wrong, to know to love things that are good, truth, loving truth, hating lies, loving justice versus hating oppression, all of that. So that is part of us, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us emphatically, people of faith, uphold adl and qist, because I have already programmed it in you. All you have to do is turn on the app. That's all it is. It's already installed in there. Feed that. Okay. So the word adl is translated as justice, balance. It's a wider term. Balance, equality in all affairs, as the circumstances require. It doesn't mean it has to be equal, but as the circumstances require. Okay. For example, you might say, well, Allah commands 2 shares for the boy in inheritance, 1 share for the girl. And somebody who doesn't really know and understand might say, well, that's not justice. Well, first of all, that's a big thing to say, because Allah commanded that. And Allah is Al-Adl, Al-Hakam. He would never do anything injustice. That means we have not understood the wisdom behind it. According to the circumstances of each one. Because Allah has put the financial burden 100% on the man. Therefore, in this perspective, Allah has given support for that. The woman is going to be supported by her husband in Islamic perspective. So she doesn't need to inherit as much as the son. And there are many other ways of looking at it. So, in Islam, it is equity, it's justice. It doesn't have to be equal. Okay. So, in our dealings, we should not pay attention to our inclination, our interests, our feelings, my inner tendency. Also, adl means moderation. When Allah says, when you spend, don't be stingy and don't be extravagant, but take something in between. And that's also adl. Okay, that's another aspect of the same thing, moderation. Take the middle path. We are not extremists, extreme liberal, extreme conservative, extreme this. We are an ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which is a middle ummah. Moderation, that's also justice. Balance. Now the word qist, which is also related, and qist is the manifestation of adl, signifies more specifically respect and upholding the rights of others. For example, in dealings, okay? If you have a share in something, those shares should be given properly. That is qist. Placing everything in its proper place and station, and giving things according to the proportion that has been set. And when Allah says, rise up, humul shuhada, bil qist, means you stand up by acting in a just way so that adl, justice in general, is preserved. Some scholars say the opposite, just to understand the difference, say the opposite of qist is oppression. In other words, you're violating the rights of somebody, therefore you're oppressing them. And the opposite of adl is cruelty. So they say qist signifies more the rights of others. And therefore it is more concerned with human relationships and relationship with other beings and objects. And therefore, that is what qist is, more in the horizontal, and adl is more in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word qist is applied more in cases of respect for the rights of individuals in the society, the reward and punishment, and establishment of order. Whereas adl is more found on agreement. So if you have a contract, to fulfill that is an act of adl. But qist does not require to have an agreement. You still act in the same way. And it said qist is the way of preserving adl. So they are closely related with some differences. Some have said that adl can be taken as the criterion and standard, and qist is regarded as the rule that leads to those, the ways of acting that leads to that adl. Therefore, some have said that qist precedes, is placed prior to adl, that if you act with qist, you will establish adl. Okay, just some subtle things. Therefore, in a qist-oriented society, everyone attains his or her rights in conformity with their talent or aptitude and effort. And since people differ in talent, in their ability, in their vocation, in how hard they work, their compensation has to be proportionate to that. However, with adl, adl tries to eliminate some of those differences. In other words, compensate for a person who's challenged, mentally challenged, physically challenged, that you still give them the rights, but it doesn't have to be equal. And adl also applies to, as we said, it's more broad, of the inner states, emotions, the purification of the souls, moderation, and giving the rights of the body and parts of the body as part of the adl. So the two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are relevant to this justice is Al-Adl. Allah's name is Al-Adl. And these two names come when you read those 99, Al-Adl, Al-Hakam, they come one next to each other. So Al-Adl is absolute justice that brings peace, security, balance, order, and harmony in the universe. It also implies that since he is Al-Adl, he is the enemy of the tyrants and their supporters because they are going against his justice. Now, Allah has created both good and bad because there is need for both. There is beauty and ugly, strong and weak, rich and poor. That's all part of his justice so that one is necessary to appreciate the other. Okay. If you don't have wrong, you can't appreciate right. Okay. So you have those. It's created. He has created both, but he doesn't tell you to do what is wrong. Don't act in an ugly way. It is there. But you are commanded to act in the good way. and the destiny, the predestination, which is what we have challenged with many times, you know, if Allah has already determined this and this has happened, where is the justice? Well, that is part of the justice that Allah has built it into it, that Allah has given you these choices. He already knows from his knowledge of past, present and future being the same, which choices you will make, and that's your destiny. Okay, so your destiny is fixed ahead of time for you, but it's not ahead of time for Allah, because he already knows the choices you're going to make. That's your destiny. And therefore, our response to that qadr should be, if we are going the right direction of shukr, of sabr, of being pleased with Allah, rida and tawakkul. As long as I am doing the right thing, my destiny, inshallah, is going to be good.
So who decides that person going to have these choices? Is it up to the
Allah,
person or the...
No, Allah has given the choices,
right.
But you determine. This is the limited free will, that you make the choices.
Okay.
This is the Sheikh of my Sheikh, Sheikh Mukhtar, Sheikh Muhammad Amin, Rahmatullah Alayh, told us about a story about somebody he had met. A great Sheikh of his time, he had a student, a very dear student who came as a murid, spent many years with him, observing his character and learning from him and, you know, spirituality, and he observed only perfection in everything he did. Then one day, the student had a dream. Now imagine, so obviously these people become very attached. They're like, this spiritual father was more than your physical father. So we would call it, he had a nightmare. He saw in his dream that his sheikh was burning in the hellfire. Now, the status of the murid is you can't hide anything from your sheikh. So next day, he was very depressed. He went to his sheikh. He said, Sayyidi, I have to tell you something. So he said, I don't know if... He said, tell me. He said, yeah, Sayyidi, all I know about you is good. But I saw in a dream that you were burning in the hellfire. Now, someone else would have said, get out of here. So he just lowered his head and he sat quietly. He didn't say anything. So then the student asked, aren't you going to say something about it? He said, what can I say? I have had the same dream. I've had the same dream. He said, then why do you spend your life like this in worship and ibadah and all of this all the time when you know you are going to be in hellfire? He said, because that's what Allah has commanded me. So I will obey him even if he puts me in hellfire. And I will continue to do what he's commanded to the best of my ability, even if he decides to put me in hellfire, because that's his job. This is my job. I have been commanded to be a true abd. I will be an abd even if Allah puts me in the hellfire. And he continued for many years went by. Same thing, same routine. Then the student saw another dream. He saw his sheikh in Jannah. So he was very happy. He came. I'm going to skip some of the details. And he told his sheikh that this is what I said, what I saw. And what he also saw was that it had been written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the ultimate Ummul Kitab, that he is in Jannah. But that was sort of a test for him, in a way, to see, would he give up? Like people say, you know, there's no need, you know, I'm going to be ending up in Jannah. So the bottom line is, we don't know what is written for us. Whatever Allah decides, alhamdulillah, I don't know. My job is to do what I'm supposed to do. And that is, and I know without a doubt that Allah is not unjust to any of his ibad. But I'm afraid of his justice. Why am I afraid of his justice? Because if he only acts with justice against me, I know where my destination is going to be. So I'm not looking for his justice. I'm looking for his rahmah. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He said, don't ask Allah for justice. Because if he takes you to task for justice, like if he puts one of his ni'mah on one side of the mizan and all your deeds on the other, it's going to be off. So his rahmah. And Allah is al-hakam, the judge, who orders, he judges, he executes justice. No one can oppose, prevent his decree, his qada, or delay the execution of his orders. And when we know these qualities of Allah, it should be, in one way, reassuring to us that justice will be done if we are not the ones doing injustice, if we are the victims. It also is a threat that I should never act with injustice, because Allah is the ultimate judge, and I'll be called to task. And the other aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's adl is, this is from creation and how things are running. The sending of the Quran is his adl, because that establishes adl. The Quran is a book of justice. And ultimately, the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the afterlife. When we stand in front of him, everything, his rights, and his rights, he can forgive. But the rights of others, we have to be very careful of. Okay, Allah sometimes, it is said in one athar from Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, that Allah doesn't care about his rights because he doesn't need anything. He can forgive anything. Which is not to say that we should not fulfill Allah's rights. But Allah does not ignore the violation of rights of others, including the rights of animals, because we have the hadith about the woman who used to be in tahajjud, who used to fast every day, but wouldn't give food or drink to the cat and didn't allow it to feed itself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she is in Jahannam in spite of all of those ibadat. So, giving the rights of everything. So, now we can go through some of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us on the Day of Judgment that no person will avail another, nor will any intercession be accepted, nor any compensation. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْرِي نَفْسٌ أَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ شَفَاعَةً وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. You will be called to justice. You will not be able to buy your way out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran that if you could ransom yourself with the weight of the whole earth in gold, it will not be accepted from you. Justice will be done. Allah says in Surah An'am, I'll do the translation only in the interest of time. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall I seek a Lord other than Allah while he is the Lord of all things? If I seek a Lord other than Allah, am I acting with justice? That is the ultimate of dhulm, ultimate of injustice. After all Allah has given me, I go to someone else and worship something else. That's the ultimate of upside down justice. Okay. Then says, no person earns any sin except against himself. Man, you are harming yourself. You think you are harming someone else? You are harming yourself. Allah says, when you are getting divorced, Allah says, don't treat your former wife-to-be with injustice. Because Allah says, you are doing injustice against yourself. You think you're, I'll teach her. No, you will be doing injustice against yourself. And Allah says, no bearer of burdens. وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَازِرَةً وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No one will bear anybody else's burden. This is justice. You can't say, well, my parents have so many good deeds, can I do this? My so-and-so did this. Everyone for themselves, individual. And then Allah reminds us, and then unto your Lord is your return, and He will tell you what you have deferred, and no one will carry the burden of another. Stressing the judgment on the day of judgment. Many ayats that stress the same thing. And then sometimes the word adl is used as a compensation. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids that when you are in a state of ihram, that you hunt animals. But if you do, then the adl is that you sacrifice animal that's worth the same amount that's to be done. That's part of the adl, that compensation. Like when you do fidya and you violate certain things, there is a compensation. Also, as we've said, adl in our behavior. And the word adl is also used for the straight path, because our deen is one of adl. And taking that straight path is adl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ashura that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mission is to realize adl among mankind. That is the prophetic mission. Ultimate balance and adl with relationship with Allah and balance with everything else. Allah says, observe adl in your family life and among your wives, even in the case against the enemies, as we said in the previous ayah. Allah says, adl in justice in your words and deeds, regardless of whether they are in favor or in loss to your relatives. Even in your words, they should be balanced and just. Then, of course, Allah specifies, give full measure and weigh with justice. When you speak, maintain justice. Allah says, adl in writing and signing a document. When you make a business dealing, when you have anything, even when you're writing your will, when you're doing a business contract, it has to be with adl and with witnesses, again, for the same reason. Adl by the governing bodies, judgment and jurisdiction among people, Allah talks about that. Allah talks about establishing peace based on adl in Surah Hujarat. When the ayah is when two parties of believers fight, then you intervene with justice and make peace between them. In the wills and witness, we've already talked about when you are called as a witness, we act with justice. And as we said, that the whole creation of the world existence is a manifestation of the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, in term, the ayats of the qist is again dealing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how you deal with orphans. You don't steal their wealth till they become old. Give them, increase them in their wealth and give them what is due to them. Allah talks about the missions of all previous Anbiya as being to establish justice. And talking about distribution of the blessings of Allah. So zakat is a form of adl, giving from people who have to people who do not. Some sort of justice in that way. The prohibition of riba, of usury, is justice, because that's the ultimate way of economic injustice and oppression. So Allah has declared war against riba. Okay, so that's a manifestation of His justice. The tax that is taken for the protection of the dhimmi, under Muslim state, that is part of justice, that they don't have to fight, but they give money for their protection. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about giving one-fifth of the war booty to Allah and His Messenger, that's part of justice, so that it can be given to the needy. Temperance and moderation in life and individual affairs, a life of moderation, not of extravagance, is, again, adl. The stress on consultation in political, social, economic affairs in society is considered adl, because you look for the best opinions, the best minds, the sharpest minds, so that you can come to the best decision. Support for human rights and the rights of the deprived and the oppressed people, of women, orphans, and those who are weak in society. That is part of adl, the ayats dealing with that. Prohibition of any form of domination, seeking insurgence in economics. So that's why you cannot artificially raise prices of things that are in short supply. That's what is done today. You know, Monjaro is not available, raise the price. You know, mangoes, this raise the price. You know, food, Allah says that's not justice. Okay. Prohibition of arrogance, selfishness, conceit, prejudice, discrimination. That's against adl. So observing all of that. And being in the super luxurious, that worldly pleasures and extravagance, that's against adl. Then, of course, there are rights of animals and plants. All of that is part of justice. Justice and judgment and arbitration. Fulfilling your trust is justice. Okay? Because somebody trusted you, you return that trust. And that also includes in something, information they give you, that you treat it as an amana. Payment of the full rights of a contract. You took a loan, you didn't pay it back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not lead the salah of janazah. He said, does this person owe any money to anyone? Till that's paid, I will not lead the salah. Justice. Okay. Prohibition of hoarding up gold and silver and wealth without paying its due to the poor. Eating up the property of others. And of course, at the base level, you know, measuring and giving the right in documents, in sins, devouring the property. There are all these ayats. There are almost over 60 ayats that deal with this. Now, there are some related terms. The word istiqama is also used in the Quran. Istiqama means resistance in a certain, to endure and stand in that. In other words, the whole world is pushing in one direction, which is the wrong direction. You stay steadfast, istiqama. You're standing up for justice. So continuing in the right way as you're commanded is istiqama, steadfast in affairs based on rights and the norms that Allah has determined. And istiqama is also in moderation. The word qawam and qiwam, these are also used in the sense of moderation and adl. Istiwa in siwa means equivalence, equality, and is also used in the Quran. Wasat means in between. Ummatun wasat, you know, middle, moderate nation. That's also used as a balanced ummah. It is not one of extremism and deviation. The word mizan is used, wazan for weighing, all used for justice specifically and in general. And then the opposite, and Allah uses the word kail, and kail means to weigh, and He uses the word mizan, qistas, and qasd. Word qasd means moderation. So all of those are somewhat related terms to justice. So those are, in summary, some of the things that we wanted to cover. We still have about 10 minutes before Maghrib. Now, if you were to summarize all of this in one short sentence of justice in Islam, what would you say? Very short, simple. Put it all together as a summary. I'll come to you next.
Allah is just and he loves justice.
Jazakallah khair. Yes, I am looking for something. That's absolutely correct. I'm also looking for, from our perspective, what is? Yes.
One thing in Islam that I think is often overlooked by mushrikeen or kafir is that Islam is very heavy on practicing equality but not through equity, because there's very many circumstances where equality does not equal equity, and that's a very important thing that we need to keep into consideration.
Yes, that's another aspect of it, yes?
Yeah, I just have one single sentence from MLK, which is representative of everything we just talked about. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Mm. Okay, exactly.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Okay.
And this is exactly what we see
that
in
is
Muslim 57 Muslim countries. There is lack of justice, and you see where we are right now.
Yes, it trickles down and has, yes. Who else wants to say something simple? One of the sisters, you know, they are not exempt from this, okay? This ummah is based on sisters. The future is based on sisters. First Muslim was our mother, radiallahu anha. First martyr was radiallahu anha. Many firsts, so you are not exempt. The next generation is brought up, tarbiyah is first, ummuk, your mother. So, I want a simple sentence. Simple, like you could then tell that, who's the youngest, he's asleep. You wake him up and say, look, so what was the class? The class was this. Yes, young lady. Can you say what this is all about? Yes?
Stand up for justice.
Stand up for justice has, yes, that's one way. But he may not know what justice is. It's just a word. Something you... Insaf is Urdu translation of the same word.
Act with justice.
Again
justice.
Again justice. Explain it to me, something simple. How about if we say something like
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world in balance. We as a vice president are supposed to maintain the balance.
Jazakallah khair, something. But I was thinking of the simplest. Yeah, go ahead, please. Please.
Follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it.
That's one. Yes?
Deal justly or fairly. It can be applied to everywhere. Dealing.
Do the right by everyone and by
Allah,
yourself.
Allah. Now we are coming close. Yes.
Recognizing something, whatever you're doing, if you're
right
or wrong.
This is now coming close. Simple. Put the two together. Go ahead.
Be truthful about everything.
Absolutely. You have to. But simple thing for a child. Know what is the right thing to do and do the right thing. That's it. That's justice. Knowing and doing it. Isn't that very simple? Just do the right thing. It's not complicated. And you say, but I don't know the right thing. Then find out the right thing. That's all. And that's the summary of all of this.
The right thing criteria is different for different people.
Yeah. Again, that's why you need to know the criteria of what is the right thing based on what Allah and His Messenger, which comes back to the thing, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the simplest message is simple, that our deen is very simple. You don't have to go through 1,000 ayats, you know. The Baddu knows. Because this thing, what we are talking about, the summary, is what is programmed in our genes, in our fitrah. To know the right thing, it's just a matter of doing the right thing. Now, yes, you get corrupted because you are living in a society, living with people with all kinds of baggage and all influencers who are influencing you to do everything that's wrong. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of justice who know what is right, what is wrong by the criteria of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should know that because we are in the house of who? Brother? Furqan. What is Furqan?
To know
the criteria of right and wrong. So just remember, we are in a house where the criteria of right and wrong is. We should know that. And then the next logical step, every action, every word, everything I do should fulfill, should be doing the right thing. And that's simple. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.